Yeah, Kirsten and I just came back from the Northeast. We had a great time in New York, Maine, Boston, New Hampshire. Really awesome. Boston. One of my favorite parts of the whole trip was hanging out with another church. I think they were called Journey or something like that, out in Maine, and just seeing how a different church does things, because sometimes we could get all caught up in our own circle. And long story short, I loved the sermon. The sermon was profound. It was simple. It was all about love. And it was just a reminder of the do's and the do nots that Jesus explains so freely and so simply on how to love, you know, to love our neighbor as ourself. And honestly, we could talk about that a lot, and we preached about it. We will continue to, because it is the most profound reflection and representation of God that we can ever do and perform as a body, because God is love. And he takes good pleasure in us revealing his love, because his love nature is bestowed on our nature, and then we can love. But one thing that the pastor did not explain there, and of course, you know, in all fairness, you'd probably need another sermon to do so, was where it comes from in the first place. In other words, he made the statement and said that unless we experience and know the love of God, it's really hard to love. And in fact, probably impossible to love like he loves, right? And I was thinking, I was like, wow, like what an opening. What an opening to a great, honest conversation, because it's really important to get to the root of why God loves us and how we experience God's love. And I was thinking about it, I'm like, man, like do we even know? And if we're totally honest with ourselves, at least in certain parts of our life, like, do we feel like we experience God's love on a regular and know what it's like? That's a really important question to ask ourselves, because it should be an instant response. It should be like, I mean, obviously the answer should be yes, but I'm afraid that sometimes the way that we've gone about the gospel and this church thing and Christianity has been so kind of dry and watered down, and it kind of misses the point of God's love and how we experience his love. Does that make sense? Everyone tracking with me? It's like it just feels like a slow and quiet morning, but okay, but I'm just going to go. So it's like, the fact is, we can love others, right? And we can live a life of love, but to do so, we must receive, experience, and know his love. And I'm going to start this point with a point and say that receiving his love should not be dependent on a specific breakthrough or a change of circumstances. How's that for a little provocative for a moment? Okay. Because sometimes I feel like when we're introduced to Christianity, we think that we're just being introduced to a better life. And I've said it before, like, I did not come to Christ to have a better life. I came to Christ to have a brand new one. And there's a huge difference there. And I don't want to miss that point, okay? But another way to say it would be, don't decide that he doesn't love you or that he's holding out on you because the thing that you've been waiting for those who have battled discouragement, has not changed, okay? And we're going to get to that in a moment. But if we are waiting for the situation to change to know that he loves us, we are way missing it. So it comes back to, how do we measure God's love? Like, what is the measuring rod? What is the measuring stick of God's love? And how do we know he loves us? Because many of us are told, well, yeah, he loves us and he died for us. And we're like, okay, yay. But it doesn't land here and it doesn't affect us in the most profound way, but it should. So, you know, we're told that he's forgiven us, but a lot of times, like, if we're honest with ourselves, we're kind of asking in the back of my mind, consciously or subconsciously, why? Like, why did God, I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. I get of what he did and he died for my sins, but why would he do it? Like, why truly? Because I look at myself the way I look at myself and my past, the way my past has been, and I look at how I've been living. And in that lens, there's just no way that I can see it. But the answer lies in seeing what God sees. Okay, so you have an intrinsic value to the Lord, but that must be part of the gospel. And that's why we say here that it's actually really not about your sin. We hear that Jesus died for your sins. And of course, that's a true statement. But the reality is that he died for you. And he just needed to get the sin out of the way. I think I was talking to you about this, Mom, like in the backyard like several months ago. And we're like, yes, he had to get the sin out of the way to get you back. It was really about getting everything back and restoring what was lost in the beginning. It says that Jesus came to restore what was lost. So what was lost? So we talk about the beginning. We talk about Adam and Eve because it's a perfect portrait of his intent. Like, what's God's intent? Eden, right? The richness of the garden, the richness of fellowship and his fruit, his likeness and his image. God made man in his likeness and in his image. In his image, he created man, and it repeats it a couple times in order to get the point really well. We were supposed to be like him, and we were supposed to be with him, because obviously all of Eden was about, it was about delight and fellowship with God, right? And so, and then he also gives us this wonderful commission, and he says, go, multiply this thing that's right here and cover the earth with the glory that I've given you, with my glory, reflect me to this world. Truman, you got something? Okay, yes. Truman said, for me, image is more than physical. And amen, brother, because I'm a little limited in the physical looks here, you know, and like most of us in this room have some sort of limitations in that area to the world. Of course, God made you exactly how he made you, and that's beautiful. But yes. Yes. Amen, man. And that would be an amazing study. Image. It's what you carry. It's who you are. It's your character. It's the Hebrew word, which I forgot, but the front, the face, the forehead. It is the very image of God that you are designed to carry. That'd be a wonderful study about what does it mean by image, right? Obviously, we don't physically look like God, although there's something there as well, right?
As far as the physical goes, too, with what he's saying, you know, when we're made in his image, that's a spiritual aspect, but the physical aspect was Jesus on the earth, where Isaiah prophesies that we would not desire him. So he didn't necessarily be this, he wasn't this beautiful human being.
Totally. So we know what happened after that, right? The fall, the separation. And in steps Jesus, let's fast forward right to Jesus, and he came and restored that very image. It was almost like we traded our image, right? That glory that he meant for us, that likeness, that nature, and even that authority. And it's like we traded in, right? And we kind of gave that up, and it was not good, and we were cut off from him. But what's really interesting is when Jesus came, it was kind of like a trade all over again, because Jesus was beaten and bruised beyond recognition. That's pretty deep. I heard a man preach this once, and it's wonderful. He believes that that's because after sin took its place in us and had its way in us, we looked nothing like we were supposed to look in the beginning. So Jesus hanging on the cross, yeah, same deal. He looked nothing like it was like he looked the most beaten and bruised and unrecognizable. In order to get our original image and our identity back. It was another exchange for the good. So he restored us back to there, and he calls us a new creation. He calls us sons and daughters. It's one of my favorite songs that John just sang, because how good is it to be his child? It is the most wonderful thing. Like he has healed me in so many ways, only like even just by the principle of sonship. Right? So he restores us back to the Father. Jesus gives us access through the veil into the Holy of Holies to be able to have that relationship restored with him again, and to now step back into our original created value, image, likeness, and destiny. I believe that the gospel actually reaches its fullness. It's fulfilled. The joy that was set before Jesus is fulfilled when we are like him, when we become like him, when we reflect him, right? It's one thing to confess something, but it's another thing to become something. And that was one of the things I was missing out of the Christianity that I grew up with, was it was just like this word that you say, the magic word, and someday we go to heaven. It's so much more than that. It's like literally the restoration of who I am. It's my restored Genesis, my Eden, the thing that I was always meant for. And it's like, I'll take it that far. I really will, because it's wonderful. When I get a small piece of this in my life, that's when I just see the most amazing fruits without trying. It's just knowing who I am in Christ. And so I can wake up every day, actually that was when I went to bed, but sometimes when I wake up, I'll wake up and, like, you know, I used to just be like thinking about the thing that I have to deal with that day, but usually I'm just smiling. I can't explain it. I know it's cheesy. Like, and last night I went to bed. I was, you know, obviously in the lane next to Kirsten. She didn't know, because that'd be really weird if she took her eye mask off and then, like, looked over and I'm just like smiling at her. But I wasn't smiling at her. I was smiling in her direction, but I was really just smiling because God was there. Because he's there. Because I get to go to bed in his glory, his presence, just knowing that I'm a son. That's awesome. It's just good. It's really, really good. This is how we know the love of God, that he chose us, that he predestined us from the beginning. It was his good pleasure and his good will that he wouldn't just be okay with us. That would be really awesome to begin with, right? Like, me just being okay, that's great. That means forgiven. Sometimes we just talk about forgiven, but we miss the part about reconciliation. This is a cool little point here, okay? Forgiven is really, really good. Like, really good. Like, you all need to be forgiven. We're forgiven. I'm forgiven. And it's really good. We're forgiven. But then reconciliation is more than like, okay, so my brother did something to me or hurt me or whatever, and I forgive him. That's one thing. But to actually come back together with relationship restored as if it never happened, and to make peace, that's reconciliation. And so God's full reward is that when we get to be with him, to access him, to have peace with God. This is all throughout the New Testament. Okay, like, I didn't write down too many scripture addresses, but hopefully you're, like, you know, you're seeing those common themes. It is all about access to him. That's what he loves. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to experience him. And my reward, oh my gosh, like, my pearl, my treasure in the field as well, is him. I was actually in his presence in my room the other day, like sometime in the week when no one else was there, and I was just hanging out, and I'll leave it at that. But I was praising him and thanking him, and it's so easy for me to thank him for the stuff, and I did, right? Because every good and perfect gift comes from him. So I'm thanking him for, like, you know, I have a house, man. It's getting cold outside. I have a house. And thanking him for my wonderful wife, my wonderful girl, my family, my good friends, you guys, everything, like all the good things in my life. But I just felt this desire and understanding that, like, no, like, I mean, that's good. But, like, what am I thanking him for? And I just kept getting deeper and deeper. And as I began to thank him more and more, I began to, in the spirit, come closer and closer and closer to him. And I said, oh, my God, like, you are my reward. Like, you are my reward. These things are your gift. They're wonderful gifts. I'm so thankful for them. But you're my reward. He has to be our portion, guys. Like, he has to be our portion. The other stuff is amazing. But never covet the gift at the expense of the gift giver. If we do, it's not good, because the gift gets taken, or something happens with the gift, or the gift is like something in our life is shaken, and guess what? We're shaken, very shaken, to say the least, right? But when he's our reward, when we've been invited to die and to live, right, truly come to him, he's our reward. He's everything. I'm not saying he doesn't give the good gift. He does. But don't ever, like, that's a good word. Don't ever covet the gift at the expense of the gift giver. That was something I learned really quickly, even as a father. I'm letting you know, because when it's all about when I'm thinking about Hannah, when I have my desires for her, I have my own will for her, I have what, like, in my mind, like, I don't really care what it looks like. Obviously, all I really care about is her relationship with her father, with her real, with the Lord, right? But I can be so movable in that place. Like, if she just exhibits something or whatever, I'm like, oh, what's happening there? And if I'm that shaken, then watch, she's going to see a faith in her dad that's very shakeable and shaken, right? Instead of trusting the Lord that, hey, like, you are my absolute portion, and you are her God. You're her God, and I trust you for my daughter, and I will speak out and remember her destiny, like what you've spoken over her, Lord. But your will be done on her life, right? And just release her, if that makes sense. So someday, you know, like, if my daughter has to go see something else or experience something else, so be it. I know it's easy to be like, oh, don't talk like that, brother, but we all need to, man. We've all done that. And why should I hold on to her too tightly, lest I cut off? Well, I can't really cut off what the Lord's doing, but you know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't be right. That wouldn't be good. Okay. Also, death to life, the death to life experience. When I die, when Christ died, that was my death. When he rose to new life, I rose to new life. Yay. So I really, like, have no reason to ever complain, because if something comes my way, well, I've already died. I've surrendered my rights. Lord, what are you doing here? Because all I know is it's a thing, but I mean, the thing bows down to you and you're in me. So what needs to happen here instead of, you know, like, being shaken? We'll probably talk about that in a minute. So when we go back to receiving his love, we must know what the measuring rod of his love is, because many of us have talked about, like, in these church circles, it's about his presence and he just fills me and I'm like, oh, and this warmth of his love, and it's so good. And we talk about the presence of the Lord, and that is so good. But don't ever just chase those things, right? And don't ever measure his love based on his presence. I know that's, like, a strong statement, but, like, what is his presence? His presence is tied to his glory, and his glory is in his goodness, and his goodness is something that he's going to display, but it's not just always like, I just need to be whacked out in the spirit to experience his love. There's a knowing. What we just read is, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. What's amazing is that knowledge is, the Greek is gnosko, which means, like, deep and intimate knowledge, especially through firsthand experience. This is a deep understanding, a deep knowledge of who God is, why he loves me, and looking at the gospel and waking up every day and realizing whose I am and the purpose of why I'm on this earth. He adopted me as a son, and that's my purpose. So does God love me? Yes. Do I experience God's love all the time? And how do I know? Because the cross. It never has anything to do with what's going on in my life. And I know that's like you all know that. It's very simple. But I look at us sometimes, and sometimes we're kind of like sitting ducks to be just so moved by life. And guys, life happens, man. Stuff that people do, evil stuff, or accidents happen. People are dying, man. Like, dying in every way. It's like life is cut out to not be very easy, especially in this world. But thank God we're not of this world. We're just in it. And so it's our job to see something that God sees, to see our intended value, to see his glory, and to bring it here on the earth. And we're not going to bring it here on the earth if we bow to circumstances. Circumstances bow to him. I was just reading that wonderful story of the Ark of the Covenant. And you know, when the Philistines, you know, like they won the battle. So they were like looting and just grabbing all of, all the nice stuff. And they were like, well, let's get the Ark. Things made of gold. And we know it's something to them, and it's really important to them, whatever. So they grabbed the Ark and they had this bright idea of putting the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, into the temple of Dagon or Dagon, right? Dagon it. And so they had it in there. And they were like, you know, they're like, yeah, let's just put it in there. And they, you know, they decided to check on it in the morning. And, you know, everyone who knows the story knows what happened. That big statue of Dagon was like down on the floor, you know, on its face before the Ark of the Covenant. God, it's so badass. I'm sorry. That is so cool. I'm sorry I said that word. But that is so good, man. I'm sorry. That's like, wow. You know, like, oh, he's so great, you know, like, and everything just has to bow to him. It's so boss. I'm glad we're family here. but I just think that's like, it's so, that's just what I think when I read that story. I'm like, oh my gosh, you are so cool. And then you know they do it again. It happens again, but this time the thing is like in pieces. And I was thinking about like that's like our circumstances that must bow to the Lord instead of bowing to the circumstances. When we hear that bad news, what happens? When we're going through something hard, what happens? Do we bow? Right? Do we bow, or are we unshakable? Right? And those things have to bow to the Lord, and the Lord's in us. Doesn't mean that you don't go through the stuff. It's just that it doesn't decide whether you're okay or not, or whether he loves you or not. Man, I can't tell you how many Christians I've had conversations with. Like, they're like just so blown up. They're just blindsided by the fact that they're going through something. They're like, I thought God loved me, you know. And then maybe it happens with us sometimes. Like, if we're honest, like, you know, is he holding out? You know. So, okay, in a situation. Sometimes things happen and we're just like, what, you know, yeah. Sorry, guys, I'm kind of all over the place today and not wondering, I don't want to take away with what God wants to say, if that makes sense. If we're waiting for the situation to change to know that God loves us, we're missing it. And I'm not saying that situation is not meant to change. It should change, and I want it to change too. We do want it to change, and God is powerful, and he does change situations. But what if there's something that we're not seeing? See, if I were to bet on either me knowing it or God knowing it, I bet on God every time, right? So what if there's something that he's doing on the inside, and what he's doing is so powerful out of his infinite knowledge and understanding? See, like, it's almost like my daughter, or, you know, you have a baby, all right? She's walking, but several months ago, she might not have been, right? So when we have this baby who's trying to walk, and, you know, Kirsten and I were talking about this. Sometimes that baby is going to stumble. The baby's going to fall. It's, you know, it's like, oh, you know, and it's kind of scary, but they don't usually get hurt. They're like 2 feet off the ground. You know, it's all good, you know. Larger they come, the larger they, you know, the harder they fall, and well, a baby's a baby. So, you know, like, we kind of let them practice, and sometimes, you know, we'll lift them up and help them out a little bit. But what if I just, like, what if out of that baby's frustration, because they do get really frustrated when they're trying to do something, what if out of that frustration, he or she called for me, right? And I help her, and I just walk her everywhere, or, like, carry her. In the moment, it would be really wonderful for the baby, but me, out of not infinite knowledge, but more knowledge than the baby has, right? Like, I know that's actually important for the baby to stumble and fall. It's important for her to go through the training process of trying to walk. It's important for her leg muscles to get strengthened, right? And even for things that we barely understand in science, like hand-eye coordination and even mental development, for things that are totally, like, different than physical exercise like walking, right? There's a lot of important factors, a lot of important things going on in that moment that in the long run is going to benefit that baby, but she's not seeing it at the moment, right? All she's seeing is I'm trying to walk and I keep falling and it hurts and, you know, it's a pain, right? What if it is like that with the Lord sometimes? Like, I'm going to share a quick testimony that I think I've shared a few times, but never gets old for me. Like, but I used to have a speech impediment. Like, there was a time in my life where a season of this would come on me and I literally could not talk at the most important times. Like, Like I was trying to, okay, we moved to Colorado. I started this business and I wanted to provide for my family as most men do. I wanted to make it. I wanted to do well for myself. I wanted to make money to like, you know, support a house and the family. So, I had this client lead, right? Someone gave me a lead to this big company that would be really, really helpful for me to land the account on. Really helpful. And so like on the way there, I was a little nervous, whatever. I mean, that happens usually. I was praying and all this stuff. And, you know, I was asking God, like, please help me to speak because I know what, I just know how, you know, what that's like. I know what was probably going to happen. I was like, please help me to speak. Please help me not to severely stutter and stammer and get like caught up in my words and not even be able to express anything. And so I show up there and this really potentially good client is just, you know, we say hello and he's like, okay, so yeah. So explain what you do on the spreadsheet, you know, cause I'm in boring inventory stuff, but like, you know, he was like, explain what you do. And I went to go answer and nothing. Like nothing. And it was the most awkward. It was probably one of the most awkward events in my life. Like you had to be there. He's on one side of the room. I'm on the other. And I'm literally looking at him and I cannot speak. And I can't tell you how frustrating that is to know that, hey, like, you know, you're an intelligent person. Like, you know, like I know that I had a lot to offer this guy and that my service would be awesome. You know, I knew it would all be good. And I have a lot to say in many, many situations that may be really, really valuable. And I'm not like, you know, I'm not like out. Well, you guys know that like I have no lack for words, lack of words, right? So, yeah. Anyway, like, so yeah, to be in that situation, that happened time and time and time again. And even, I mean, it was so bad that the furnace went out one day and I had to have Kirsten call the repair company. Because I knew that I'd get on the phone and they'd be like, can I help you? And I'd be like, it was, I mean, it was that bad, guys. Like I couldn't speak. And so it, like, there were times in my life where I was like, I'm not even kidding you. Like I was like, I'd rather, part of me would rather have no legs and be in a wheelchair than not be able to speak. Like that's how serious it was to me. And so, you know, I would just be weeping. You know, I came back from that, you know, trip especially, I was just crying the whole way home. Like a little, I was crying, man, because I'm like, how can I do anything if I can't express? That's like a really powerful, like your ability to express and to speak, God, especially God's word and his truth and whatever he put on your heart at the overflow of, you know, of the heart, the mouth speaks to not have that is, I mean, it was bondage, man. It was really, really, really bad. So needless to say, I got into faith healing. I understood what healing was. And I was just stepping in on faith and just praying to God, please. And I was like, okay, Lord, like, all right, by faith, I'm going to take this. I mean, I did everything that I knew to do and nothing. And you know, I mean, that was so frustrating. I couldn't even tell you. And this is like, you know, this was for a long time. It wasn't like just 1 year or 2 years. This was like a good several, 8, 9 years of standing in faith and trying to get healed of this thing. Especially around 2014, I kind of had a big break in business by the grace of God. I was able to, you know, to do some things in Cabo, Mexico, and for the first time meet with bigger business, bigger top dog business type people, and folks that were dealing with like movie stars with their houses down there. And it was so bad that I was like, you know, I was able to speak sometimes. It was a better season for me because it would just do this. But it was so bad that there was a time where, you know, I'll be honest with you guys, like I would take a shot of tequila, because, you know, and I wasn't the man that I am now. I was a Christian, but you know, I was like, when I would have a, you know, a nice drink or something, I'd be like, man, I really like the way I can flow better. Right. So I began to experience this in a way that I started to lean on other things. I really thought that was a spider on that tissue box. She totally got me. I looked at this tissue box and there's a drawing of a spider on it. The kids are doing like this little thing too. It's a Halloween, like little, do you see that, Mom? Like that looks like a spider on there. Yeah. Is it? That looks, I know it looks real. They're like, they're trying to mess with us. And then after Halloween, we got these spiders drawn everywhere. It's on the, yeah. Anyway. So then I started like, I mean, I was almost going down the route of alcoholism, because what is alcoholism? It's living, it's depending on alcohol and not being happy with the person you are, so you drink. And then that was a wake-up call. I'm like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? You know? But still, it was something I was really struggling with, and I didn't see any kind of deliverance. And I guess the point of, well, okay, I'm going to finish the story. So just 3-4 years ago, as some of you know, I just had this reawakening where the Lord just drew me in and just showed me what it is to be a son. What does this thing look like? What does the true gospel look like? What is your destiny, right? And he showed me everything. I mean, he showed me a lot. And I was like blown away, and it changed my life forever. It just did me in. Like, I'll never have the same perspective again. I'm not going back, because like every day it was just so amazing. I felt like I had just gotten saved. It was just understanding like, wow, God, I'm your son. Wow, I really died back there, and now I'm like really new, and I surrender it all. Like, I surrender it, man. Like, I'm dying. I'm dead. It's just done. And then the life I now live, I live towards the son, and that is it. My mind is it's just good. And so I was having this wonderful time of like wonderful restored relationship with the Lord, and I brought up the stuttering thing, and he said, oh, like, God's not intimidated. He's just not, you know. He's just like, he was so light about it. But he, I literally felt him tell me, he was just like, every time that thing starts to rise up in you, because it did, like I would feel it coming on. He said, every time that thing rises up in you, just remember that you're my son. And he said that he knew what he was saying, because every time even now, when I remember that, like, wow, God is my dad. Like, I am a son, like, a daughter, a son, like, we belong to God. Like, that truth, like, literally nails me every time. I literally can't say it out of this, like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm a son. Yeah, guys, I'm a son. Yeah, I guess God just decided to love me so much that he, you know, he didn't just say that I'm okay, but he actually adopted me into his family so I can actually gain an inheritance and operate as a son. You know, it's okay, guys. Yeah, not bad, right? I can't do that. It's not a sterile truth. It's not like an abstract thing out there. I'm like, I'm actually like, I took it in and I just decided to believe it. So that really, like, it just impacts me a lot. And it's like really hard to be, I'm not saying I can't get discouraged. I do sometimes, but it's really hard to these days, because when you're a son, it's just so good. So anyway, he said, remember every time a thing rises up, remember that you are my son. I said, okay, that's it. That's it. Okay. So every time it rose up, I was like, you know, I'd be making a phone call, and I'm like, oh boy, like, guys, I would dread making a phone call, like, dread it, especially business, because whenever you put on the spot to perform and sound some certain way, I would dread it. So I'd have to make the phone call and be like, okay, I'm a son. but like, you know, I would say like, okay, yeah, you want me to remember I'm a son of the Most High God. And then I'd like start to smile, and this joy would like, you know, come up in me. And then I'd make the call, and there was just a little bit less of that weird pressure to perform, or that fear, whatever. It just diminished just a little bit. I'm not saying it was like instant, because I really wanted to zap, guys. I was just waiting for him to be like, bam, you know, or like, you know, or to go up to the healing evangelist and just like get out in the spirit and wake up and I could talk, you know. But it was a process for me. And it just got smaller and smaller and smaller until, like, now I'll just go make a phone call to, like, the top dog. And I'm like, man, like, there's this confidence in me that says, I'm a son of the Most High God. I love this man too, you know, but, like, who I don't care if he's a heavy millionaire. Like, who is he compared to, whatever. Like, I'm a son. He's a person. In fact, I would really love if he knew Jesus. And it's just something changed in me. And so that fear just diminished and whatever. So I'm not saying that, that, you know, if you're in need of stuff, I'm not saying that your story has to look exactly like mine. And I believe that there's a lot of times a zap and the instantaneous healing. Man, I've seen it, and I will believe it. I'll believe it for you, and I'll continue to pray for it for you. But I, 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 I'm just reciting that story just because when I look back, I honestly can see the infinite wisdom of God, because I look at my heart and what I understood and how I identified myself, and man, I needed a whole makeover in there. Like I just, he wanted to heal something else first. And what was amazing is in this particular story, the healing physically, like, you know, out of speaking, actually came out of the healing inside. It was literally an inside out experience instead of an outside in. So, and I look back and I'm like, man, when I was in Cabo, Mexico, or when I was, you know, like in these really, really high profile and high pressure situations, if he would have zapped and healed me right there, I'll be honest, pride would have kicked in, because like I kept saying to myself, man, I'm good. I have a good work ethic. I have the ability to strategize. I could manage. I could lead. I could do everything that needs to do, except I can't freaking talk. Right. So I kept saying to myself, if I can just talk, I'll rock that thing. I'll just rock it. And I'm telling you, if I would have been healed, I'm kind of afraid to imagine what I would have been like on the inside if I had gotten healed at that moment or many moments in the past. And again, I'm not saying that that's everyone's situation, but in this case, if God would have healed me, if I would have experienced healing at that point, it would have been at the expense of something. And it would have been at the expense of something much more valuable than the physical ailment that I was dealing with. God bless, there's a proverb that says, God blesses and adds no sorrow to it. When God blesses, he's in his infinite wisdom, he's not going to bless you at the expense of something else and something greater. He's much better than that. Is this helping at all? Because sometimes it's important to know, like when you're dealing with a small child, they want something, they want it now, and it's like, oh man, like I kind of want it for them, but then sometimes I'm like, actually, I'm not going to help you with that. In fact, this morning I actually left the jar slightly hard to do for Hannah because she needs to get some strength. Like I'll usually just open it totally for her, but she's a growing girl. She needs to get some wrist action going, some strength, you know? And there are times where I'll just let her go through some stuff for just a little while so she can actually be stronger because of it and be able to learn and make the right decisions, even though I could have helped her. Why? Because I'm a grown up and I, at least I don't know everything, but one thing I do know is that like she wants something right now, but there's value in the waiting and the trusting and the growing. Okay. With that said, you were called to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. He has changed you. Like, there's changing a situation, but he has changed you in the midst of the situation. My prayer life is so different right now. I can't explain it. And I'm not saying yours is whatever. My prayer life, well, first off, when I was younger, I used to just pray for stuff. You know, I thank him and then I pray for stuff because that's what I thought prayer was. You know, like God was a bellboy. Well, God, I just want this and this and, you know, help me do this and do that and whatever. And actually, that's really not bad. It's not a bad thing in itself. But then my prayer began to get about like every situation, like, and basically, if I'm honest with myself, it was just about making the situation easier. If there was stuff in the way, I was praying that God would just orchestrate and move everything out of the way so I could just step through like the Red Sea. Right? And there's nothing wrong with even that in itself. But I just realized that, man, but like while I'm crossing through the stuff, the thing over here might need some there's something that I'm going to learn off of this thing over here. And there's a person over here that needs ministering to, you know what I mean? So I'm realizing that there's value in the walk. Sometimes I think goal oriented, like the end game, and there is an end game, but what about the road there? God loves the journey there because it's relationship. It's relationship, right? So what if God is doing something so spectacular in you? Could someone turn to, I think I put it in here. Did I put it in here? Yeah. Okay. Could I get three volunteers? Because I just want to read some scripture. James 1 verse 2. Someone raise their hand for James 1 verse 2. Okay. You got James 1 verse 2. Could someone do Romans 5, 3 to 5? Okay. Romans 5 verse 3 to 5. Okay, and then one more, 2 Peter 3:9. Can someone get 2 Peter? Thanks, man. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I think. Sorry, 2 Peter 3. because I thought it was verse 3-9. So I might have the wrong chapter. Let's see. Well, yeah, let's just go with it. We'll see what it says, Brett. Appreciate it. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 2.
Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Yeah, that's amazing. So can we see what that value can be sometimes in the waiting? Okay. And that word perfect is completion, like complete. He's completing something in you. Who had Rome? Oh, yeah, Romans 5.
Romans 3:3-5.
Yep. Romans 5, sorry.
Romans 5.
Verse 3-5, yeah. But it's only two pages down, two chapters down.
Yep. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. And endurance develops maturity of character. And character produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom we have been given.
So good. That's so much better than the McDonald's drive-through gospel. Verse 3, let's see. Yep, that's it. So go ahead and, this is a little longer. Go ahead and, Brett, and read verse 3 to 9.
Okay. So this is 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. I'm reading from the Passion. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power.
Stop right there. Sorry. Okay, so right there, and does anyone have like the New King James or something basic? Mom, are you there? Okay, ESV. Yeah,
his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence.
Okay, so that statement right there, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we're at odds. We're like, oh my gosh, what? But so that sounds like no lack. Right? So what if, we're coming back to the rest of that, but what if in the middle of that thing, what if there's something that I'm not seeing, right? What if it's not actually God holding out on me, but there's something that he wants to do in me and there's something that I'm not seeing? Because again, I'll bank on him, not me. Okay, so I just want to grow. We're growing, guys. Like, this is good. Like, this is, we're growing. And he's showing us something. He's showing us many things, but he's showing us the fullness of the revelation of the fact that we are so blessed and have everything that we need pertaining to this life of godliness.
For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him, who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. So devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness, and to goodness add understanding, and to understanding add the strength of self-control, and to self-control add patient endurance, and to patient endurance add godliness, and to godliness add mercy toward your brothers and sisters, and to mercy toward others add unending love, since these virtues are already planted deep within, and you possess them in abundant supply. They will keep you from being inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. Verse 9.
Yeah.
But if anyone lacks these things, he is blind, constantly closing his eyes to the mysteries of our faith and forgetting his innocence, for his past sins have been washed away.
Amen. Yeah, I love that passion translation. It's good. All right. So, yeah, we'll wrap it soon here. So that's just, and I know we've spoken on this before, but there's a value in the trial, the tribulation, the suffering, and it's easy to not see it. But when we can see the value and walk in, because we know the promises and we know what the end game is, but what God wants us to do is to walk in relationship with him and come closer. He wants the thing to drive us closer to him, not further. And the reason why, like, I shared that testimony is because, again, I look back and I would have been a little rock star in my own world. I really would have been. I would be like, man, I'm rocking it. Like, now it's unstoppable. I could just speak. And honestly, I might have done really well at a huge cost. Huge cost. What I'm starting to understand is that God is so after our hearts. I know, what a profound mystery, right? But he's so after the inside in our hearts. He so wants you. And he's so after us realizing and living the identity, the life that he paid for. And I did not really, really, really know who I was in Christ at all. I was just waiting for a better situation for myself, and that would have fixed nothing. It would have fixed one issue at the price of really knowing who I am in Christ. And amazingly, it was actually out of that identity that I would begin experiencing the healing. And even if it took a while, because it did, it was like a little bit of a process. Now look at me, I can't shut up. And now look at me, I'm preaching. That's crazy, God. Like, that's crazy town. Like, he actually took me from this guy who couldn't even speak on the phone to a furnace repair man, and he put me up front to speak, and I didn't ask for it. Like, you know, like Rich was asking for it. You know what I mean? Like, this was something I was encouraged because someone saw something there. How could that be? I was like, no way, you know? So, but that's the Lord. He's radical, man. He'll take it and he won't just make you like, okay, he'll take it and just blow it out of proportion so you know that it was him and not you. And that's what he did there. So it was so good. And so, but on the road, like as soon as he gave me that revelation, just remember, what was he doing? Where were my eyes on the issue, or were they on him and the reality of what he made a way for? Set your minds on the things above, not on things below, right? So my perspective began to change, and so even if it took a little while in the process, it was so much more fun. Right? Because like instead of condemning myself and feeling like an idiot, I was actually reminded of how good God is. That's awesome. You know? Yeah. Sometimes like, you know, I've heard of people having issues sleeping, whatever. Like, I learned one thing, like, you know, I will pray for their sleep, man. Like, absolutely, because I want to see them rest. I want to be able to see them have good sleep. But they'll be like, man, it's like I'm tormented. I'm like, I'm kept up at night or whatever. And I'm like, you take that time and spend it with the Lord and just thank him for what he's done, who he is in your life. And wow, I can just lay here and just remember you. Oh, God, you are so good. I'm just going to set my mind on you right now. I'm going to set my affections, my heart right now as I just lay here, whatever. Even if it takes several hours, yay, this is a good time to be with you. Like, and when they were, when, you know, they would be like, oh, well, I think the devil's keeping me awake. I'm like, well, not for long if you do that. All right. One more point. He so cares, and he cares about the things that you care probably more than you care about him. And he wants to see you well. He wants to see you healed. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be physically sound. Okay? He wants this for you. Promise you that. Okay? So don't hear me wrong. Like, and sometimes I confess, sometimes there's hope deferred. Sometimes there's, for me, okay? Like, I'll pray for someone multiple times. I don't see anything. that there's a woman that I know that has been really, really ill, really ill. Okay, it's been not good, and it's been several years now. Okay, and me and some others have been praying for her for a long time. And is that okay to me? No, it's not. Okay, like I want to grow in revelation, I want to grow in faith, and I want to see things move when I place my hands on them, and I've seen them move. You know, some of you know the stories, and some stories that I haven't told, and it's just good. But it's so hard when it doesn't happen. It's just so hard. However, I'm not going to create a doctrine of man out of experience and emotion. I'm going to create a doctrine out of what the Bible says, and I will not stop standing for healing for that person. But lately, I've been hanging out with that person, okay, once a week, and hanging out with her, and what used to decide the sort of mood of the meeting was what she's going through and me praying for her, and nothing would happen. And it would just be a complete frustration the whole time. I mean, it's frustrating, guys. Like, you know, like you share the same frustration. And it's so discouraging. At one point, I decided, like, let me just, like, I know it's crazy, but, like, let me just sweep that all aside for a second. Let me just hang out and just love her, just have a good time. And celebrate who she is and whatever. And so we sat down. We did a Bible study. I'm smiling. She's smiling. We're having a great time. She's opening up. I'm opening up. And we're just having good fellowship. And it's not like all about her issue and my issue because she's got an issue and I haven't seen her issue move. It was just plain old flat out good quality fellowship. And there was a smile here in her heart. I prayed for her like big time, like before I left, because that's what we do. We stand in faith, right? Really important. But this thing came on me. I'm like, wow, like how much does that thing decide? Like, it's almost like our life. If I'm waiting for something, if I'm waiting for the stuttering and the speech impediment to go or whatever, and I'm not okay until then, that's a bummer. Because it shouldn't depend on that. It's got to depend on who he is, and that's what faith is. But it's more than faith. It's relationship. So in the meantime, we could actually enjoy the truth of who he is in fellowship with him, because nothing, I don't care what you're going through, nothing will ever separate you from the love of Christ. Ever. Right? And we have that promise. So in the meantime, I know it sounds crazy, but let's have fun. In the meantime, realize that God, like I'm confused. Just be honest with him, man. If you're at the point of complete devastation and whatever, just like it never pays to hide from God. Just be fake and be like, yeah, you know, like be real with him. But like tell him, like, I'm confused. This thing is not moving, but I know that you're good. I know you are the God who fill in the blank, and there must be something that I'm missing there, or something. Just, I don't know. Just speak to me. But in the meantime, I thank you for what you are, for the good. Because then otherwise, you're just going to walk around miserable, and it's like, what good does that do? Like, what good does that do? So in the meantime, so I could have had a miserable time with this woman last time I saw her, but instead I had a wonderful time, and we were both able to like have some sweet fellowship with each other and the Lord. Does that make sense? But the Lord cares. I'm going to end with a vision. Okay, I was with Kirsten, and we were in prayer and just getting into the Spirit a couple days ago, and it was just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. I'm just going to share it from my perspective, but much of my perspective was her perspective as well. But for the sake of telling the story, I'm just going to, it was what I experienced. Okay. A lot of stuff, but just, I'm going to cut right to the chase. I was spending time in this wonderful place with Jesus. Okay. Jesus was there. I was here. He was there because he drew me in. I just saw the spider again. Like total, that just messes with me. I'm going to turn that thing around. All right. Yeah, I know. I can't smash it this time. Usually, you know me. I'm like, I usually come to your rescue, John. Okay. All right. So Jesus was there because he beckoned me. He drew me into this place. And man, his glory, his light was whiter than white. It was so white that it was almost like my mind wanted to see blue, but it wasn't blue. It was white. And it's just, you know? Okay. Wonderful. In this point, and I see this thing floating, like suspended in the air, and it's like a scroll-like little thing. It's kind of thin. It seemed like one thick piece of paper. That's it. with like a little bow tie thingy, mabobber, like, you know, where like the easy kind where you just pull it and it just, you know, unravels. I knew that that's why, because he wanted me to actually unravel the scroll. So I unravel. I was like, ooh, is this my scroll of destiny? Like, what, you know, what is, so I unravel it and it just goes flat. And I just see a blank piece of paper with a little fancy thing on the bottom corner, which I'll get to in a minute. But I was like, yeah, but what's the content? Like, it's got to say something. Like, what's the... So I fix my eyes on it in the presence of Jesus. And suddenly, like these words appeared. Like, it was a whole letter. And instantly, I felt in the spirit that this was a love letter. I heard, like, love letter, love letter, love letter. I'm like, oh. You know, because it's a love letter. It was a love letter. Not like... You know, not like in the world's, you know, standards of like romance, obviously, but it was better. It was like, you know, infinitely better than that. And I realized, long story short, that it was for me and it was for my life. It's for the season that I was going through, because I was kind of struggling with some things in life. Okay. Because at the moment it's not that horrible, but at the moment I'm like, there's got to be some kind of give. Like, I'm working too much. I'm missing my family. I'm traveling to California all the time, and I love California, but like, something's got to give. And there's a few other things work wise that was like really frustrating me. And it got to the point where I was like away from my family for the upteenth time. I said that umpteenth time this year, whatever, like many times, whatever. And I'm just missing them. And I just really got discouraged. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? You know, because this other time, like this was several weeks ago now. And, I asked the Lord, like, I was like, what am I doing in my life? And God, like, you know, I trust you, Lord, but you know my heart. And when I said that, like, that's loaded. He knows exactly what I mean. It's like, I'm not like an insurance inventory specialist. I have dreams. I like to create music. I like the idea of creating this place that's like an Eden for people to come and take refuge. I have this whole vision. This stuff that he's done in my heart that I'm like really excited about. And I'm like sitting here traveling all the time doing inventory. I'm like, I want to sow into these things, you know? So I'm like, God, you know my heart. And right away he was like, and you know mine. I was like, ooh. Like, he was like, you know mine, and that is for you to shine, to reflect, and to manifest wherever you go. Leave the open doors of change to me, but you are to stay the course and shine wherever you go, in the midst of what you're doing, whatever you're doing, living and breathing. It's me that's going with you, and it's me that you're reflecting on this earth. I was like, whoa. Like, you know, and he said, lest the revelation be cut short. And I knew what he's talking about there, is like the revelation of Christ in me in the midst of my circumstances, instead of my circumstances changing. If God was to be like, okay, yeah, son, I see you're getting a little bit miserable. Well, let me just give you a way out. Okay, yeah, you don't want that job anymore. Let me open the door. You go ahead and get out of there so that you can have it this way. Like, I'd be missing something very, very valuable, right? And that, but then he said, he promised, he was like, I will open the door. That's my job. You go shine. And I'm like, okay. Like, I just needed that moment of encouragement, because he won't keep me discouraged that long. In fact, I was discouraged for like 3 days. I'm like, this is weird. Like, I haven't been that discouraged. Usually I'm really happy. I'm like stupid happy. What's that? Okay. Got a few more minutes here. So speak quick.
I want to speak into what you were saying about this. I saw something slightly different, but it's the same. What I saw was an empty page, but that's your life. And what I saw was God telling you, with me, we will walk this page out. This is your life, and with me, I will show you what it looks like.
I love it. And I also got something for that as well. But yeah, and I need to come back there, because I started one story and then entered another story about several weeks prior. So let me just, okay, so I'll finish this amendment story. So that happened. I was like, okay. And then I had to go back to California, and my perspective was completely different from the week before. And who knows that when your perspective's different, your life is different. Right. So I had this moment where, like, I had a divine encounter and I had a word of encouragement for a woman, at the shop, whatever. There's this place in the Huntington Beach, California area. And it was just amazing. And I was focused on what God is doing instead of my own issues that I was struggling with. Does that make sense? And if it had been the week prior, I would not have seen what he's doing, and I would not have heard from the Lord, and I would not have delivered this word to this woman who got incredibly blessed because I did. See how profound that is? Because it's the same outlook. Watch, I'm still dealing with the same crap, right? But it's no longer my issue anymore. I'm just looking for what God is doing in the midst of this thing and how this is actually a tool in all of his wisdom. It doesn't even have to, this issue doesn't even have to, he's not the author of it. He doesn't have to be the author of it, but he's wise and he allows us to go through some stuff because it's important, because we just read about what it produces in your life. So that would never have happened. It was a funny story too. And I'm not going to go into a Third Amendment or Second Amendment to the first story, but she was like, I mean, she's just trying to she's working the cash register, and she's like, okay, I don't know what's happening right now. Like, you know, she's like getting the chills and, oh my God, like you really saw, oh, like, and yeah, and she was a Christian, it turned out. And I knew that because God showed me whatever, but she was so blessed. And she was like, oh, okay. Oh, your credit card just timed out. Would you mind like inserting again? Like she was bugging out because like, she was like, I can't believe this is happening right now. And she was like, totally blessed. We prayed, whatever. Like I prayed for her and it was really good. So anyway, back to this other story. So yes, Truman, that's really good. And also the Lord showed me through that, like sometimes it requires that we look, that we set our minds on something. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we're in the midst of an issue and we just can't see God through. We can't, like, we don't always have that. If we're honest, our natural mindset is sometimes to bow to the circumstances, or at least let it get the best of us instead of looking up and saying, oh God, you're so good. I'm so glad that I have an opportunity, an issue here or whatever. Like, what are you doing here? You know, like our minds don't always go there. It was the same with that blank piece of paper, because I fixated myself on that sheet of paper. And when I fixated on it and was like looking for what Jesus wrote to me here, then it was like, whoop, it was there. It was almost like it was there the whole time, but I didn't see it. Right? We need to look. He is our lover. We are anticipating. We're waiting. We're hanging on every word he says because he's Jesus. Okay. End of the story here. So like I realized that fancy thing on the corner was almost like a, like you ever like open up like a pharmaceutical and it says like peel here for more information. It was kind of like that. So I began to peel and I was like, oh, there's another love story or another love letter. And I peel again, another one and another one and another one and another one and another one. And it kept on going. And he showed me that these have been my words all along. These have been my words of encouragement for you in every single season of your life. And it goes all the way back to the beginning. That's profound, guys, because in every single situation he's speaking, it says that he sings over us. Last scripture, if I saved it, did I not save it? Did I not save it? I didn't save it. I think it was in Zechariah. He sings over us even when we're going through the stuff. That's basically the gist. Guys, he is so after you. He so wants you. He loves you. And even when you can't see it, begin to see it. Like look for that love letter. Look for the thing that he's writing and singing and dancing and doing over you in that time where it's so hard, it's so murky, it's hard to see beyond anything that you're going through. Does that make sense? That was profound for me. Every single season, he said, when you were going through stuff, yeah, when you were going through that time, I had a love letter for that too. That thing, oh yeah, that thing, yep. And it was either in a month or a day or a season or an instant of time. Many are his thoughts for me, like the grain of sand on the seashore, the scripture says. Wow. Okay. How are we doing? You guys ready to have church? Okay, here we go. No, just kidding. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for how much you love us, for your concern for us, your care for us, God. And Lord, I know that we are children growing up into maturity, into the fullness of Christ. So Lord, help us to see the things that we have not been able to see, Lord, but we know you see it. Lord, I know that there's so much profound effect when we begin to see the things that you see, Lord, and we begin to see ourselves the way you see us, Lord, and other people the way you see them, God. So give us eyes of understanding, like Paul prayed, open the eyes of our hearts so that we would see and understand in full revelation of what you're doing, even in the hard time and the hard place, Lord. And we thank you that circumstances bow to you. It's not the opposite, and we will not bow to circumstances. We thank you that you've set our feet on the rock, so that no matter what wave is coming our way, that wave is forced to break at the solidity, its inertia, it's just there. It's the fixed rock that is Christ. And we stand on that rock, Lord. Help us through these times, Lord, and give us grace, God, as we're trying to sort through these things, Lord, whatever we're dealing with, God. You're so good. And that is our confession, and we remember. In Jesus' name, amen.